Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh,
you're in the madhouse now.
Are you ready? It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 539 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. It's always a good idea to check in on the front lines every once in a while in the comics industry. So this week, I'm talking again with Dave Romeo, the owner and operator of Comics on the Green, one of the very best comic shops I've ever come across. Dave is both a retailer and a fan, so he can talk knowledgeably about the business as well as the creative aspects of the industry. We discuss how his store is doing, including their 30th anniversary going on right now, his perspective on how Marvel and DC are handling new changes this year, how Image is selling, what comics he's currently enjoying, and other comics-related subjects. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show! It's always great to talk with Dave Romeo from the Comics on the Green store in Scranton, Pennsylvania, a guy who knows both sides of the table real well as a fan and as a business owner. So how you doing, Dave?
I'm doing fine, Wayne. Thanks for having me on. It's always nice to chat with you.
It's good to talk with you because there's so much going on in the industry right now. It's just a strange time. The news recently, well, I guess we'll start with Marvel because it's the big elephant in the room. They had a news article recently that Joe Quesada has left Marvel to go off and make movies. What did you think of that?
That was a little, I'm not surprised that he might be looking to do something different. He's been in the industry, you know, what, almost 30 years or so as an artist, writer, editor, you know, editor in chief, whatever. But I didn't picture him leaving for something like that, but you know, you and I had briefly mentioned beforehand, like it's that siren call of film in Hollywood, and he's been around a lot of it now with the success of Marvel Studios. So maybe there's some sort of greener pasture there, or maybe just for a guy like him, hey, I've done it all in comics. I'd like another challenge, you know? And so, yeah, I guess we'll see. I personally liked a lot of the stuff he did, but like everything, I thought some things maybe fell a little bit flat, but I did like his tenure overall. But I really kind of miss him as an artist. People tend to forget what a very good artist he is. Mm-hmm. And I would always hope that somebody like him would put a really big stamp on some project, like with a major writer or something, like work on that. But I guess he feels he's done enough of that in the past with like Kevin Smith and maybe his little run on Spider-Man and things like that. But I'm going to kind of miss him as an artist. I'd rather see something like that than more film. But I guess we'll see.
Well, isn't Marvel a very different company now than when he took over? They were having real troubles back about, was it 12 years ago? They were having trouble selling shares and stuff like that for stock and things like that. And all he took over and he provided, looks like, stability and some creativity to mm-hmm. it. And now it's a whole different ballgame with the
yeah.
Marvel, the yeah. cinematic universe, as well as the books. They're still mm-hmm. at the top of the heap, have been for a long time. They had a momentary blip when DC was in there back at the mm-hmm. New 52. But now Marvel is mm-hmm. continuing to it. And that leads me to ask you a question. I'm just kind of curious mm-hmm. because Disney Plus right sure. now is mm-hmm. doing so many shows based on Marvel characters, and we just had the Doctor Strange movie and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, as a store owner, and I realize this is – we're just talking about your individual store as opposed to the whole industry. Have you sure. noticed any kind of a blip or uptick when, like, let's say Moon Knight comes on? Disney Plus. Do you see any up in sales as far as the comics go?
Oh, we absolutely do. 100% we do. It really started back with WandaVision. As much as she was an integral character in the movies and everything, nobody paid her a lot of attention. Nobody talked about it a lot. WandaVision came out. It blew everybody away. And all of a sudden, we couldn't keep Scarlet Witch and Vision and related graphic novels in stock. Then it happened with Hawkeye. And we still continue to sell a lot of Hawkeye. We still continue to see to sell a lot of Scarlet Witch. Moon Knight definitely right now. Again, since he's the current flavor of the month, and well worth it too. By the way, I'm not saying that to be sarcastic or anything, but we're selling a lot of Moon Knight trade paperbacks from previous works. Of course, the new series is doing very well, and the first storyline of action paperback, and we can't keep that in stock. Saw a little bit of an uptick with Loki. Even though people seem to like Loki, there wasn't a lot of stuff available at the time either. Marvel didn't really have a lot, available for stores to have. Then they did come out with some things, and we've seen an uptick. But the shows definitely have done their job, and we are still selling stuff based on these characters that no one cared about. No one's ever asked about Hawkeye or Scarlet Witch or Moon Knight in years, or if they were just hardcore fans, you know. So it is nice to see, and it's people of all ages, so I just want to say it's a wide demographic. See a lot of young women who are really into the Scarlet Witch, who also like Loki, too, by the way. And Hawkeye brought in a wide demographic. Moon Knight tends to lean for us a little bit more toward the male audience, mm-hmm. While the others tend to have a little bit of a wider reach. But overall, they've done wonders for sales. And we have a section out front when you first come in the store, basically movie and TV related things. And it's everything from, you know, Stranger Things to Naomi to whatever is currently going on in movie and TV, we keep out there. And we're constantly restocking the Marvel product out there.
Wow. The next one's supposed to be Ms. Marvel. I saw a trailer for that. Mm-hmm. So are you ordering more Ms. Marvels to help with that?
I will. I expect a little bit of a less response because I think that appeals to maybe like a smaller audience, maybe a younger audience, younger female audience. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we won't sell. I predict anyway. We won't sell as many of that as we did at the previous one. But it'll cause me to order more than I do have currently. So I'll definitely have to take that into consideration. We'll see what happens. Maybe I'll be surprised.
Now the line, of course, is blurred between video and comics and stuff. And I was interested. I think I saw where the main actor in the Moon Knight series is writing a comic as well. Did you know anything about that?
Oh, I feel like they did throw his name on something, or he's co-plotting something, but forgive me, I don't know that off the top of my head, but that sounds possible. It's probably something I even ordered already and forgot about because we ordered so far in advance. But, yeah, I'm afraid I don't have all the info on that one. Right?
Well, that's okay because I think – I can't remember his name. Oscar Isaacs or something like that, or maybe I got it backwards or something. But, yeah, I was trying to figure out if he's a comics fan or what the story is with that because I'm fascinated. You know, actors tend not to do those things, but – nowadays, of course, we had in the Batman movie, there's the guy who played the Riddler was writing a DC comic.
Yep.
So man, all these actors and stuff, I guess they see, hey, this is another chance to dip into the till. So they're good. And they like to write. Some people like to create stories and stuff like that.
Sure, kind of interested. And especially when it comes to actors and things like that, a lot of times they don't get a chance to write. And they're not writing any screenplays that anybody wants to read and things like that. So maybe they have some ideas and, you know, Marvel comes and say, hey, you know, maybe we'll pair you up with an established writer and we'll get you to iron out a plot or a script if you have an idea. And I think that's great for them to express themselves in a way they don't normally. And especially if they appreciate the format, if they appreciate the art form of comics. So that doesn't surprise me. I'd like to see more of them do it. But again, writing comics isn't just like you're just jotting down things on a piece of paper, either. I have nothing but the utmost respect for our writers out there because I don't know how they do it. I really don't.
Well, I've seen the writing process firsthand. I was helping edit a comic, and I got to see the script as every page would come my way. I would look at it, and I would try to, you know, they didn't tell me the whole story because they wanted to get my reaction when I read it. And that was a great thing to do. I appreciated not knowing the whole story because I could give them honest feedback. Right? Ooh, I didn't expect that or something like that.
Right.
Which is great. And so a lot of writers do that kind of stuff, which is great. But I'm just kind of curious, though, is back to the movies. I mean, the Doctor Strange movie just has been out. Have you seen the movie, or has that impacted the sales of the comics with him?
Yeah, to an extent, like most of our customers, I really enjoyed it, first of all. And I'd say that 99% of our customers really enjoyed it, maybe saw it even multiple times in theaters. Because there's no real proper Doctor Strange out comic right now, the comic that's out right now called Strange is actually, spoiler alert, his girlfriend Clea from another dimension who's taken over for him because he's presumed dead. So people coming in off the Doctor Strange movie are actually more excited about the Scarlet Witch again. And they're enthused about Doctor Strange, but unfortunately there's only so much in trade paperback that's available right now, which is a failure a little bit on the publisher's part. Also, there are paper shortages and manpower shortages, and I understand that. But yeah, I can't really point them to a Strange comic right now because he's not around. He's presumed dead. I'm sure he'll get better. But there's definitely interest. And I remember even in the first movie, once he came out, there was definitely a more interest generated. But this one, it seems like it's more focused on the Scarlet Witch again, bringing her back to the forefront and igniting that interest in her again.
Well, I think they did a good job of picking like Benedict Cumberbatch, Doctor Strange. He was very popular as an actor with Sherlock and stuff like that. And then too, you've got we talked about Moon Knight. Ethan Hawke, I think, is the bad guy in there, and he's a popular actor too. So Marvel does a great job. And of course, that goes through. I'm sure going through Disney is not a problem with that either, because that gives them a chance to really trot the good people out.
Yeah, I mean, their casting has been spot on. Whoever their casting people are, you know, should get raises. Because I don't know who's been passed over for these parts. All I know is every part that they've cast, it seems like it's been spot on. And I think they don't get enough credit almost. We give all the credit to the actors and Disney, but kudos to those casting people. They just nail it every time, it seems.
Now, what about, I think Spider-Man is still the biggest guy in Marvel. How's his books selling these days?
Well, the new relaunch that just started in April has definitely done well. I mean, Spider-Man's always done well. He's pretty much the bestseller every month. You know, sometimes he does better. Sometimes he does, you know, fewer. But overall, sales have been consistent on him. And people definitely seem to like this current direction, where it seems like it's getting a little bit more back to basics. The last storyline, nothing against it, but we had more Ben Reilly clone stuff and everything. And they did something with Ben Reilly that was interesting for those who haven't read it. Maybe they want to check it out. But people are just kind of longing for, can we just have like Peter and Peter Parker's problems? And, you know, we want to have new things. We want to still have that core of what makes Peter. You know, I always said he's the Charlie Brown of the Marvel Universe. You know, just when you give him something, you have to take it away. Yeah, maybe keep him a little bit more street level. I don't know that he should be having big cosmic adventures all the time and everything. So sales right now on the new relaunch are better than where it was at the previous incarnation. So he's doing well. And there's always interest, especially, you know, younger people tend to gravitate towards Spider-Man first when they come around. He seems to be the guy that they like the most. So it's good to see that.
But is that why they treat Ben Reilly so terribly? I mean, they I wrote a column that I said where I please leave Ben Reilly alone because he always ends up being the bad guy. I mean, it's what does that say about Peter Parker if his brother of sorts is every time we see him, he ends up being a bad guy. And I'm always like, please, because I like the character. I like the fact that he chose Ben Reilly as a name. I like the fact that he's a fresh character, somebody we don't know anything about. But they still, you know, spoiler alert, he's not going to be a good guy much longer, if at all.
Yeah.
So
something's going on there, people. Go and check it out.
Is it because of Peter Parker? Is it because they don't want any competition? I mean, they've got Silk and they've got Ghost Spider and they've got all these other spider characters. What is it about Ben Reilly that they keep beating the tar out of him all the time?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I mean, without giving too much away what's going on with his character, I kind of think you're kind of hitting on the head. Like, okay, we have a Spider-Man family, so he's becoming less and less unique, and then you pour more things on it. But maybe if you could take one of these characters that, you know, kind of loved, he's kind of a cult character, cult favorite Ben Reilly. Maybe do something with him to make him more interesting, and he doesn't take away from Peter now. So when he shows up, it's an event, and it's not just, oh, it's Peter's clone, and he has lighter hair and works for a company and stuff like that. So, yeah, you might be right about that. Let's make Peter a little more unique, even though he's surrounded by people with all his powers and like him. You know?
Yeah, I liked Ben Reilly so much because you've got decades and decades of Peter Parker stories being told. Mm-hmm. And like the X-Men, it's a little hard to keep up with all the continuity for that. And so I kind of like Ben because here's my chance to jump on and read stories.
Right.
And meet new characters and stuff like that. So I kind of like that. But
right. And he didn't have some of the hang-ups that Peter had either, because he didn't have a lot of those life experiences that Peter had. In fact, one thing I remember going way back to the Clone Saga of the 90s was when Ben Reilly encountered Venom for the first time. Mm-hmm. And Venom, you know, because the symbiote was bonded with Peter, they share a bond. And then Venom, you know, kind of freaks Peter out a little bit. He's always a little bit on edge around Venom. Mm-hmm. When he encountered Ben Reilly's like, "You don't scare me, bud. Like, you're just another punk to me, you know?" And so when they had their little throwdown and everything, it was kind of fun because Venom was expecting somebody like Peter, and Ben's like, "Nope, I have no connection to this guy. I'm not scared of you. I'm not afraid of you. I don't know what you can do, but I think I could take you." And I thought that was a really good indication of one of the differences. Yeah, he doesn't have the life experiences and the things that Peter went through, so he is a little bit fresher, you know? And I like that. I like that about the time.
I did, too. I tend to. When Ben Reilly's around, I buy those books. I'm not that much of a Spider-Man fan just because I am we're going to shift over to DC in a second. I'm a DC guy much more.
Right, I remember that.
I like iconic characters. I like people who are bigger than life. I mean, Peter Parker's always going, he's trying to avoid his landlord because he can't pay the rent and all those kinds of things. If I want that stuff, I can do real life. So I experience those things. I don't need somebody in the comics to do that. So that's just my, that's why I gravitate more.
Sure, I understand.
Maybe can I ask you one thing? I don't know if you're going to know this or not. What is going on with the Black Knight? His daughter was in the armor for a while. And now he's in Savage Avengers, and I'm not quite sure because he's my favorite Marvel character.
Right. And I actually don't know. Wait, I read Savage Avengers, and of course he just popped up in the newest book, and they've been since the Eternals and everything, they've been kind of, you know, sprinkling him around the Marvel universe and everything. But I don't know where his history has taken him over the past probably decade or so. So forgive me on that one. But yeah, I don't know what his status is. He just shows up. I'm like, okay, I remember him. You know, I read the Avengers back in the day. I always kind of liked him and everything. But I honestly don't know.
Because I picked up one of the books that had him in it, and his daughter was there. And it was sort of a Batman Beyond setup. He was kind of advising the daughter on what to do and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I was like, and now, of course, we get to Savage Avengers, and he's back in the armor. No sign of the daughter. So, I don't know. Sometimes it's hard You know, when you get a character that's a B or C level, like he is, probably a D, mm-hmm. you know, it's harder to keep track of them because things happen in different books with a character like that when he doesn't have his own title. So,
right. They're a lot more, you know, even if he's popped up in film, like they have pretty much free reign, I guess, to do whatever they want with him. Shame of it is, but, you know, he is like, you know, like you said, a B-lister, C-lister, maybe D-lister even. So why not focus on him? Like, I mean, I guess they feel that maybe bringing in a daughter will make him fresher, but I don't know that helps his character at all. If she's interesting, great. I have no problem with that. But, yeah, it seems like an odd choice for that character.
Well, where'd she go? I mean, you know, he's in Savage Avengers and she's gone. And I'm like, well, what happened? But, you know, it's hard. You really have to buy pretty much all the Marvels to keep up with all the stuff that's going on with the characters. That's hard.
I remember back in the day when they would, you know, say, like, you know, they'd show the Black Knight appear, and then they would say, like, you know, this story takes place between, you know, Avengers 56 and 57, so it kind of tells you. Nowadays, they're just like, whatever. You know, it's going on great. You'll figure it out. You know, right now, he's going to fight Conan. He's going to encounter Weapon H, and we're going to go on our way here. So, you know.
I like the character. I always have. I don't know what it is about a guy that's just trying to redeem himself that appealed to me way back when Roy Thomas was creating him and stuff like that.
Lovely.
Still a great writer in my estimation. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry he doesn't get much work, but
he's of that age where I'm sure he works on, you know, the Alter Ego magazine and stuff like that, and he's no young fella anymore. But I did see his name on they're rebooting X-Men Legends. And X-Men Legends is the book that takes place like in the past anywhere. For a while there it took place like, hey, these are stories that take place in the 90s, and then we brought in Walt Simonson and Louise, and they did some stories from that time period. And Roy is actually going to be writing the first story arc out in August, where it takes place, I think, between his run there with Neil Adams in the 60s and before Giant Size X-Men. So I guess Roy has a couple stories to tell since Marvel approached him. So you will see his name on some books coming up. So there's a little tidbit for everybody.
I have to get that book.
I'm interested in it. I definitely am.
Okay, now let's switch over to DC for a little bit. And talk about stuff going on. There's the whole company has been sold. Warner Brothers Discovery now? Is that the title of it?
I think that's a fit, yeah.
I think that's it. And, of course, the trick is there's all this shifting going on, like with the CW. They canceled a whole bunch of DC-related shows. Black Lightning's gone. Arrow's gone, although they're saying that Stephen Amell might show up in a show or two. But all these shows disappeared, and there was worry that all of them were going to go because they were trying to sell the CW to somebody else. And I haven't heard anything about it. All, you know, they came out with a schedule for the fall, but a lot of their shows are not coming until January. So I know the pandemic has really wrecked a whole bunch of schedules and stuff like that. I was just kind of curious about the what's your thought about the comic that is related to the CW shows?
They, with the exception of when The Flash was out a few years ago with that Zero Year or Flash Year One or something like that, it was called. That one did well, but traditionally they don't do well. People, they watch the shows, they like the shows. Of course, there's the current one out right now. They just don't sell. There just doesn't seem to be that appeal. I don't know why. They usually put some quality people on. You could flip through them and see it's nice stories and art in there. But it just seems like never the two will meet, it seems like. People watch the shows, they don't seem to care about reading. And I said The Flash was the only exception. I mean, Supergirl, they tried. Hey, well, there'd probably be a lot of young people that would like Supergirl. It didn't sell. And Naomi has not really sold for us with the new series, with the show out. And it's unfortunate, but it applies to kind of everything. Even Green Arrow never saw an uptick, really, when the show was on. There was some interest in him, but then we would point readers to some of the classic Green Arrow stuff that was available in trade paperback. So even though it wasn't quite like the show, they were still enjoying the character. Overall, doesn't really affect sales at all. Not at all.
That's too bad, because I like the shows. I finally caught up on Batwoman. I was behind on that like crazy, but I finally caught up on it. And now it's gone.
I think if I had to predict what's been going on, and I don't think you have to be any kind of major business mind to figure this out, but in all the streaming, with all the streaming services out there and cable companies and everything, they're all competing and trying to just gobble up product and put product out there. Mm-hmm. And I think what's happening is, as we're seeing with Netflix right now, they're cutting back and they're cutting back on projects. And I think there's been a lot of overspending. Mm. There was some growth there. Everybody got carried away. Everybody's in competition for you, for your dollar, for that streaming service or for cable. And I think everybody just went a little overboard. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, with superhero stuff especially, and anything, they tend to have a larger budget because they deal with special effects and more costuming and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just too much. I don't say we've hit like a threshold, because certainly Marvel and Disney have enough money to keep doing what they're doing. But I think everybody else, you're going to see them dialing back a little bit. And saying, okay, what's our return on our investment here? What are we really getting? What have we been getting? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might just even get better product if they scale it back. But I think, if I had to guess, that's what's happening. Let's face it, these shows were great revenue producers, and they would keep them going, but something's there. And like you said, they're also trying to cut costs. Maybe if they're trying to sell off things in pieces, that I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if I had to guess, I think there's been a lot of overspending going on, and it's caught up to everybody.
I think, too, the novelty is kind of worn off. When the first Avengers movie came out, I would hear people, I go to the grocery store and I hear guys talking to each other saying, we have never seen these guys on the big screen before. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get to see it. Well, now, that's about 10 years ago. And now everybody's kind of like, well, we saw that already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, the saturation point happens. And it's kind of like, well, like I've seen, and it has to be quality too. And for people who maybe are fans of the Marvel movies, maybe they're not a fan of the television series, because even though they do a nice job on these TV series, it's not quite the quality that maybe Disney Plus puts into their Star Wars product and their Marvel product. And people still have enough time, let's face it. I think more than ever, you've probably had these conversations with people too, where there's just so much out there. You even mentioned you were behind on watching Batwoman. Mm-hmm. People come to me, did you see this yet? Did you see that yet? I'm like, I want to, but there aren't enough hours in the day. And I'd like to do other things too. But yes, I haven't seen Obi-Wan yet, and I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the Batman movie yet, because I don't know when I'm going to sit down and watch a 3.5-hour movie.
Oh, wow.
I haven't seen the Eternals yet, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of picky about what I'm taking. But given enough time, I'll watch everything. But I think, like you said, we're running into that, too. There's just not enough hours in the day for all this product.
You mentioned something I think that we should talk a little bit about, and that's DC's fixation with Batman. I mean, they make so many books now, one-shots and miniseries. And they just announced, like, Batman, the one where they're having a One Bad Day, I think it's called, and they've got all these other ones going on, and they got Chip Zdarsky now on Batman, and I'm kind of like, they should not call it DC anymore, but BC, Batman Comics, because that's
Batman Comics, yeah.
That's largely all it
is. I think somebody did, like, a lot of times when we get the new books for the week, we'll count, and we'll say, well, how many of these are Batman-related titles? And on an average week, you know, Batman makes up about 60 to 67% of their entire production. But the thing of it is, and I was told this, Wayne, even 30 plus years ago, before I even had my store, we were at a Diamond Comics seminar, and there were some DC people there, and mostly people in licensing and advertising. It wasn't like, you know, there were big name writers and artists there at the time. Mm-hmm. But I was talking to a woman whose name escapes me. I'm sure she's no longer with the company. It's been so long already. But she basically said, even back then, when I was talking about, you know, Batman gets all the attention, Batman gets all the in-house ads, Batman gets all this and that, you know, and I would like to see them, you know, try to promote other things, especially when they have in-house advertising. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, advertising dollars were especially bigger back then in comics than they are now. I'm not even sure how much advertising they even get in comics anymore. Mm-hmm. But she gave me a number, something like, they know that if they put a Batman, you know, ad in something, or they promote a Batman product, they get something like 8 times their return on that ad, as opposed to putting in an ad for the new Blue Beetle Booster Gold miniseries or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So they know that. I mean, Batman butters their bread.
Mm-hmm.
We know from sales at the shop, even a low-level Batman miniseries by nobody will still outsell One Star Squadron, Blue and Gold, Nubia, you name any number of things that aren't Batman related. And he's very popular for a reason. Fans don't seem to get enough of him. And DC's just giving people what they want. They're like, hey, we gave you a Mr. Miracle miniseries, nobody bought it. Hey, we gave you Blue and Gold, nobody really bought it. We gave you, you know, these little things here and there. We do all these Aquaman miniseries, they do okay, but they don't sell very well. Mm-hmm. Put out a Batman, and it's a better return. It's just a much better return, and they have to go with it. They've tried. I feel like maybe they put more effort into some of the other ones and didn't saturate the market with 70% Batman product. Mm-hmm. Maybe people would pick up an extra Aquaman miniseries, and they would pick up something else. But given the choice, they'll pick up a Nightwing or a Robin or a Batman before they pick up just about anything else. So.
Do they have an idea why that is? I mean, is it because he's more relatable? I always fuss about Superman.
Batman's just cool.
Oh, is that?
I mean, you know, there's something. I mean, you know, no matter who it is, whether you're a Marvel fan or a DC fan, like, people love Batman. Visually, he's cool. Mm-hmm. It seems to bring out a lot of, like, the best in writers and artists, too. And mm-hmm. it's like an intangible thing, Wayne. You can't even really define it. It's like, Batman is cool. He's a creature of the night. He is a little bit more relatable, of course, because, yeah, he doesn't have powers of, he can't talk to fish and he can't, you know, fire lasers out of his eyes. Mm-hmm. Even though he's got this family of, you know, people, he's not much of a loner because he's got one of the biggest, you know, supporting cast of pretty much anybody. Mm-hmm. He can't be too much of a loner, but I think it's just a cool factor visually, creature of the night. We like the dark. The dark is more interesting to us than the light, than Superman is, kind of thing, you know, to make a comparison there. And it's just always, it's been that way at least since the 1980s. Mm-hmm. Definitely since at least Dark Knight Returns, at least since the first Batman 1989 movie. Mm-hmm. Before that, I'd say Superman and Batman were almost pretty close. Mm-hmm. And then Batman just ran away with it. And here we are, you know, 40 years later, and he's still king.
Well, I remember the days when they almost canceled Detective Comics because yep. the sales were mm-hmm. so bad. And I was like, mm-hmm. and now, of course, they said they were going to sleep on it over the weekend. And when they came back, they said, nah, let's not do it. And mm-hmm. now, of course, anything, like I said, anything with Batman is just, I mean, I'm happy. I'm yeah. a Batman guy. Don't get me wrong. I love
right.
mm-hmm. all that stuff. My biggest fear, it's going to be like there are trends that happen in comics and the bubble bursts. And then mm-hmm. the company is setting all of it. It's almost overnight these things happen, you know, all of a sudden. Because mm-hmm. I think like Wolverine was super hot for a long, long, long time. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden, I noticed that he wasn't in as many books as he used to be.
Right.
And mm-hmm. he's not quite, and X-Men, even the mutants, aren't quite what they used to be. That's why they went to Eternals no. trying to build that up. Mm-hmm. So I worry right. that that's going to happen to Batman. All of a sudden, one night, people think he's going to be like the Beanie Babies.
I don't know. It's a little bit different with Batman. I see where you're going with this because I can go back, especially, say, in the 90s when Ghost Rider was hot and mm-hmm. he was everywhere and the Punisher was hot, like you said, Wolverine and the X-Men. The problem is with those. First of all, we don't have 80 years of history, any of them, like Batman does. But the other thing is the companies, once those books floundered and there was some interest lost, they kind of abandoned them and they cut their loss and said, okay, it's 7 years later. Nobody cares about Ghost Rider anymore, so just cancel the book. Not Batman, because Batman is still a $1 billion licensee for them. Batman is still their big seller, and his Batman family books represent a lot. Where one character like a Ghost Rider, like a Wolverine or a Punisher, although they have staying power and everything, it's not quite the same. They don't represent as much revenue to the company all the time like Batman does. Batman's the guy, you know? And I think that's why. So they always put their money behind Batman. So if sales on Batman were slipping, rather than say, okay, we're going to cancel Batman, well, no, let's get a better creative team on it. Let's put some big artists on it. Let's put out some big miniseries. Let's draw some attention. Mm-hmm. Rather than forget them, they put more behind them, and I think that's the big difference.
What's funny is there's a trend now in which Batman dies or disappears. If you get Catwoman, Lonely City, he's dead. And she's trying to get into the Batcave, and I really enjoyed that because I have never seen the character, without Batman in the shadows. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, now we've got Gotham Knights is supposed to show up on CW, and that's Batman is supposedly dead, and one of the guys from Supernatural is Harvey Dent, and they are supposedly there's a trailer out for it. It's about 2 minute long, tell you. That's a long trailer, and that is supposed to be coming, and they got all these different characters cast. And I'm just kind of curious that not only does Batman sell, but when he's not there, it sells.
Yeah, well, the Batman family, just the looming specter of Batman in the background and everything, just the mystique is always there. Mm-hmm. And I think more and more as we've made more changes, and even recently we've opened up things to, you know, the idea of a multiverse, even though you and I have known about the multiverse, you know, since DC and The Flash got together the first time. Mm-hmm. But people are more accepting of these things. It's like, okay, it's just another Batman. He's not here. Or he is this a different one? And I think people are definitely more accepting that this isn't necessarily continuity. It's an alternate universe. It's a what-if type story, what-if type scenario. And everybody's okay with it as long as it's good. That's why the Black Label stuff does very well for DC mm-hmm. and why these shows can continue on. So, like, we just like the Batman, the feeling. We like the whole idea of Gotham and all these weird characters, good guys and bad guys that inhabit it, and we can't get enough of them. And, again, we're attracted to those darker things, and, mm-hmm. and Batman and his character are just cool.
Speaking of darker things, the death of the Justice League. Mm-hmm. How is that doing as far as – I guess the sales are going to do – every time they kill off a character, that impacts the sales. It shoots up. But I keep hearing rumors that they're not really gone forever. And just like Superman, he came back after a while.
Right.
How do you think they're going to handle that? What do you think is going to go on with that?
Well, I mean, what they already did with this, of course, this was kind of an homage because it's been 30 years since the death of Superman. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why they did this as well. And they were getting ready to do a clean sweep and start this new Dark Crisis. So they were setting things up, for the rest of the year and what their big event is with Dark Crisis. Do we believe that the Justice League is really dead? No. Do I believe that maybe they'll kill off a character or two, one of the lesser characters, for a little while? Sure. But of course, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, they'll be around. But the whole story is, how do we get there then? And then the whole thing behind Dark Crisis, it's going to be the journey of the legacy characters, the younger generation. It's okay. Well, our moms and dads and the big guns are gone. Like, we have to step up. Mm-hmm. And even in the first issue of this Justice League that came out this week, The Road to Dark Crisis, mm-hmm. when young Jonathan Superman, comes to Nightwing, he's like, you got to help us, man. The Justice League is dead. They're not dead. They're going to come back. Mm-hmm. And he just knows. Like, we know that, too. I think he's speaking for us. Mm-hmm. But how are we going to get there? Mm-hmm. How will they be changed? And then the characters, of course, that are going to go on this journey to try to bring them back or find a way to beat the bad guy. How are they going to be changed by all this? Mm-hmm. And we'll see their character growth and their story arc happen. So that's the whole thing from it. Yeah, but maybe you will see a death or two that's not coming back, mm-hmm. At least for a while. Mm-hmm. Nobody stays dead too long. We know that. But, sales have been really good. The actual issue of the Death of Justice League has done very, very well for us. We overordered a ton, and they're almost gone anyway. Mm. And so we'll see. Dark Crisis begins soon. The Road to Dark Crisis, the prelude kind of came out this week. Mm-hmm. And, fans know. They just want to see it happen. Like, okay, we know they're not gonna be dead forever, but let's see how this goes. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get some cool moments, some good fights, some character moments, and we'll see where. And then what I do expect, though, after all of this, is kind of maybe a relaunch of some titles, because basically, like, we don't have a Green Lantern book anymore. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of characters. Green Arrow may or may not be dead. There's a lot of characters that maybe we'll get after Dark Crisis. Maybe we'll get a relaunch of Wonder Woman again or something. Who knows?
That'd be good.
But we'll see. We'll know by this, hopefully in the next 6 months we'll know a little bit more.
That'd be good. I don't like the Wonder Woman books as much as I did for a while. They're kind of watering down as far as I'm concerned. But I like the character. But we'll see how that goes. So, let's move on to Image, because Image mm-hmm. Somebody called it once the creator owned the image, and it's true mm-hmm. on many levels, because a lot of the books that they provide are not ongoing titles. They're like miniseries type of things, mm-hmm. and yet that's what makes Image so popular with certain people, is the fact that they're that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How is Image doing in your store these days?
Well, as a whole, they're still one of those companies that people look to, and they'll sort of there are definitely people who like more of the independent type comics. We do have people that definitely they'll buy Batman and they'll buy something from Image or buy something from Boom Studios or whatever. But we definitely have an audience that couldn't care less about Batman or Spider-Man anymore, and they just want to read some cool fiction, whether it's horror, thriller, science fiction, true crime, whatever it is, fantasy. Image has all that, and they've kind of really done good carving a niche with that stuff. For the most part, it depends on the character. It depends on the creators. Mm-hmm. Well-known creators with maybe a decent history mm-hmm. Tend to sell better. Mm-hmm. Your Jeff Lemire's and Scott Snyder's mm-hmm. and guys like that, and Kirkman, and their books will sell more than a brand new guy. Mm-hmm. Or some brand new, a female writer, anything at all. Like, if you're a new name and you're trying to break an Image, good for you, because they chose your product. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit harder to break in. And But I do like the fact that they do offer a wide variety, because we do get a lot of customers that'll be like, hey, what's something good that's not this or not that? And they want something. And we usually end up pointing them to something, usually from Image. And so, yeah, they're very important. Now, not everything hits either. I mean, for all the products that come out, you know, a few of them get hit and a lot of them don't. A lot of them end up selling kind of poorly near the end, or maybe it's, you know, people also like finite stuff too. They don't mind a long going series, but we find that the fan that likes some of the indie stuff like that and the creator owned things, they don't want necessarily a product that's going to go on forever and ever. They kind of like a nice little 6-issue story, a 12-issue story, or something they could buy in 3 volumes or something. Saga being the only one that's kind of the big exception to that. Can't Get Enough Saga, and that's been going on for a while. It just came back recently too, after a 3-year hiatus. But yeah, Saga's got the market for people that are really interested in superheroes.
It's interesting because they have Radiant Black, I think, now, and that's kind of that. Usually, Image and Boom and all these other people avoid superheroes like the plague, but that's one that's actually done reasonably well. And there's Radiant Red, and there's a whole bunch of Radiants that are going on.
Or back in the day, Invincible too, a big success story now because it's an animation. Although the series has been done, so they do dabble in superheroes. That's like kind of their version of superheroes. Like, you're not going to get the same cookie cutter stuff you get with Justice League or the X-Men kind of thing. So yeah, they do keep superheroes around, but not too much.
Which is good. And they'll do crime dramas. They'll do supernatural. I swear Jeff Lemire is going to help out because he signed an exclusive with them now. So it's going to make my life a whole lot easier, because I used to have to look at Dark Horse and everywhere. Yeah. He'd be under every company that was coming out.
I know.
And I struggled.
He really is.
Oh, man. But the thing was that I could never be sure I'm getting them. I would say, get me everything Jeff Lemire does. And I'd go in and I'd say, what happened to this book? Oh, we didn't order that one. I hate that. Get me Jeff Lemire. I said, what's the problem with that?
We have plenty of Lemire fans in our store, and then they support his stuff. And again, he's one of those where if his name's on a product, whether it's a Dark Horse or Image or Boom or whatever, it will sell better than some unknown trying to break in with a new idea.
Which is funny, because one of the things I like are indie books that are unknowns, but that are really good books, good stories told, and they're kind of tough to find. So I'm always experimenting and looking around, and that sounds interesting to me. Let me try that. The store where I buy, they tend to watch and see what it is I'm ordering, and then they order a couple extras just in case there might be somebody else that wants something along
those lines. Yeah, if one person buys it or two, then maybe you could sell three, maybe you could sell four. Yeah,
that's a good thing about that. So, besides, you talked about Boom and stuff. I like The Killer, and I bought that one from you. I was missing. I couldn't find it. I got that one from you, and I like that series a lot because it's so different. Are there other books that from Boom, because they're bringing Wind back, which I just got into, which is talk about another name, James Tynion IV. He's a big guy, and he's hard to follow.
He's enjoying a lot of success after. He's been a workhorse too. He's enjoying a lot of success now. Well deserved too.
But he's hard to follow.
Well, he's everywhere. He's like Chip Zdarsky. You'll find him at pretty much every company if you look around, pretty much. And I think that's good though. That's one thing that with Marvel and DC really offering these exclusive contracts, you get some of your favorite writers and they get to go and do whatever they want anywhere they want at this point, which I think is better for everybody rather than locking somebody down into one company. You know, I mean, like I said, I think Chip Zdarsky now is at, you know, Marvel, DC, and he is Image product. I mean, he's everywhere, and that's the way it should be. And he does good work. I like him, for instance. But going back to your question about Boom, of course, Something is Killing the Children is their best, I think their best selling title, and they got a big success for us. They have their spinoff book, The House of Slaughter, which is the family of these monster killers, a little bit of background with them. I really love, and I think I might have even plugged it once before, Once in Future. And it's funny because Dan Mora, the artist of that, has become a big time artist at DC. And I said a long time ago, I said, this guy's good if they can keep him, but he's managed to do both. They just released a new one called Grimm, which I haven't tried yet. We just got more copies of it in that looked kind of interesting. It's like, I think I'm doing Alex Never Asked. I forgive me if I don't, but there were some, they put out some good stuff. They don't have the large publishing thing like Image has, but they pretty much attract the same type of customer, which is nice to see.
Now, there's the one guy that has right now has four different titles from four different companies. Zach Kaplan is his name. He's got one from Dark Horse. He's got one from Vault. He's got one from Scout. And I think he's got one from Image. All four of those going at the same time. One of them is Metal Society. It's a robot versus human. And then he's got the one where the teenagers are being kidnapped by aliens at Dark Horse. And then he's got a new one that hasn't come out yet. There's two new ones that come out, one from Scout, one from Vault. So I like his writing. He's a science fiction writer. And so I am after his books. He's hard to get because he's in four different companies.
Right. You got to be on the lookout for him. You got to call him over the previews catalog or look him up on his. I'm sure he has a website or a blog or something where he can, you know, promote his stuff. So, which is nice too. When a lot of times that's how we find out about stuff too. Maybe before, you know, it really hits the catalogs. You know, the creators all have their own little domains and they're announcing stuff everywhere, and even stuff that they put out on like Substack and some of their little, you know, paper view type things. They eventually end up in physical form in comics, which is nice.
What do you think about Substack, by the way? I was going to ask about that because that's a thing that, you know, it was launched and all these people like Tynan and these people were jumping on so they can make lots of money. Mm-hmm. And they have their own little emails that come out and stuff. Mm-hmm. But what's your assessment of its influence as far as like comics goes? I mean, is it a big deal?
I mean, I think it's a big deal for the creators. It is definitely a way for them to control their product from kind of start to finish, how they promote it, who they promote it to. Mm-hmm. You basically have like, you know, it's like targeted audience. It's okay, well, these people have to subscribe, so I know that they will buy things, and they're here because for that. And I wish I knew a little bit more about it, but I think it is good for them, and I think it's a good way for them to even get out some products that maybe they don't want to release immediately to Image or Dark Horse or something like that. And as long as it allows them freedom and financially they can carry on and do this stuff, I'm all for it. I mean, I don't subscribe to any of them. I know that we have some customers and people have talked about, like, you know, people they subscribe to and stuff, and then they go like, well, some of it's worth it, some of it isn't, because they have to keep generating content to keep you interested there every month too, not just sending out newsletters. I feel like it's out there. It's not for me necessarily, but I think it keeps the creators, you know, involved. It's an extra revenue stream for them. I mean, I like it, but you don't hear too much about it now like you did during its launch. But like everything, you know, when it was new, everybody talked about it. Now it's a little bit quieter. But apparently they're still growing and doing things, and even more and more creators are jumping on and getting Substack, I don't know what you call it, contracts or whatever. So I think it's a good thing out there for them.
Well, it's interesting because in comics, every once in a while, something starts up brand new. You know, Loot Crate was a big deal for a while. And now I never hear anything about it.
No. I don't know if Loot Crate even still exists. I don't even know if they even still exist. Like anything, I think initially when Substack was announced, it came out, everybody thought, oh, these creators are just going to abandon regular comics to do Substack. And then that has already proven to be very wrong. Like, they still need to print stuff. They still need to be, you know, part of, like, some of them can enjoy, you know, if they've already had quite a career, maybe they can enjoy to sit back and not put out a lot of stuff for other companies at this point and just do the Substack. But for the most part, all those guys, all of the creators, are pretty much still involved in print publications, and then things are still coming out from them. So I'm not worried about it.
Well, I was just kind of curious to see, because everybody thinks the next big thing is going to be this, and it's going to revolutionize the industry. And I sit back, and a year later, I go, whatever happened to that?
Whatever happened to that? It's still print comic books. You know, people are still printing comics. Digital has not taken over. Digital is a nice little supplement to everything. I think comic books are just such a unique animal. It's such a unique community. It's just a different art form than other things. And people can't really apply sometimes other things. Yes, there are definitely business practices that could be applied to it. Don't get me wrong, but it's a unique animal. It should be treated that way. It's not like other things. And it is nice to see, like, you know, guys like us who've been reading comics forever in the day, that we still can go get our print comics. And if we want digital too, or if somebody wants to experience it that way too, but there's room for all of it.
Well, I'll use digital if I can't find a paper copy. If I need to know, let's say that like the first issue of Killer, if I couldn't have found the paper copy, I bought a digital version so I could, when the second issue came out, I could still get that. So that's what I use digital for. Mm-hmm. How do you collect a digital comic? There's some people come up with new ideas on how to do it, but
yeah, you know, I think the digital definitely applies to the person who's not much of a collector. You and I come from a different era when, like, that's what you did. You bought comics and you collected them. Mm-hmm. Then as more people, you know, as the digital ages come about, you have people that are just readers. Mm-hmm. They don't want the clutter. They don't want the little white boxes piled up everywhere and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we even have some customers who definitely will buy the monthly things. But like you said, if they miss an issue, they'll be like, I'll either find it on eBay. Like, if we can't get it for them, of course, we'll try whatever we can. But if we can't, they'll say, yeah, I'll go on eBay, or maybe I'll just read it on, I'll read it digitally. Mm-hmm. So to them, they don't care if they have issues 1, 2, 4, and 5, and they have to read it 3. You know, it's a different type of mindset. It would drive me crazy, but it's a different kind of mindset, you know.
Well, one thing I was sure was going to take over the comics industry were trade paperbacks. And I thought for a while people were going to go in like once every 6 months and pick up their trades and then not go in the store again for another 6 months. That hasn't worked out. I mean, there's one book I get that once in future. I get the trades of that. But I don't get the I can't say that. I just bought the latest issue. It just came out because I was there. I had some extra money. I said, I'm going to get that.
Beautiful covers by Dan Moore. I mean, he hasn't done a bad cover on that book in years. But anyway.
So I got that so I can read that and keep up what's going on with it. But I'm just kind of – do you find the trades – are they a good supplement to the monthly issues, or are there some people still who buy only trades? Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of both. We definitely have a large customer base that only buys trades. Mm. They're not interested in the new stuff. Now, when the new stuff comes out in monthly form, they're excited because it's like, oh, I'll get that in trade or hardcover when it comes out. So they look forward to that. So the monthly excitement, you know, they'll try to avoid spoilers and things, gets them to eventually they'll come in and say, did that come out in trade yet? Is that available yet? Can I get that? So there's definitely that. But we also have customers that do both. In fact, I think most of our customers definitely do both. There are guys and customers who collect everything that they want. But then there are books that's like, well, I'm not normally a thing. I don't really usually collect this book, but I heard about this and I'd like to try it. Mm-hmm. And I'm still not concerned with getting the originals or keeping the line going. So, for us, I mean, the trade sales have been a huge boon over the years. You know, we've always increased how many we carry. We sell more and more all the time. And, there's definitely an audience. Like I said, when people come in looking for Marvel product after a movie, I'm not trying to find individual issues of the Vision or Scarlet Witch or Hawkeye for them, but I've got a bunch of trades out here, all, you know, nice stories wrapped up all in one, and here you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, well, since we're getting close on time here, are there other books or other things that you would like to recommend to people?
What am I reading recently? That's kind of different, but it's a shame. I should have thought of this. I'm sorry, Wayne, before you called me. What am I reading lately that's a little bit different? When I talked to you last time, did I mention the book regarding the matter of Oswald's body?
No.
I mention that to you? Mm-mm. Oh, that's a wonderful miniseries from Boom. Mm-hmm. And basically it's just historical fiction. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to do with, did Lee Harvey Oswald kill President Kennedy? That story's been done to death. Mm-hmm. But is the person who was killed and buried, is that really Oswald?
Mm.
And basically you have this like sort of stalwart sort of, you know, old school agent. Mm-hmm. And he puts together this ragtag team of people. And their job is to do something. I can't exactly tell you what, but it has to do with Lee Harvey Oswald's body.
Hmm.
And it's wonderful. And if they should make something into a movie or a TV show, it would be this or a miniseries. And I loved it. Was it Christopher Cantwell wrote that? I feel terrible not knowing because it ended a few months ago.
Hmm.
But regarding the matter of Oswald's body was terrific. Mm-hmm. But something fun and just a beautiful read is Scotty Young and Kyle Strom over at Image. They have a book now called Twig, which is a fun all-ages type fantasy done in like a Scotty Young sort of look. Kyle Strom's art is very similar to Scotty Young. And it's a nice, it's a beautiful book. And it's just all-ages fantasy. I read that and I really like that that book so far. Let me see what else has been, what's in the pile here that I've read that's off the beaten path. As a bit of a strange thing, I'm a big Godzilla fan, and not every Godzilla comic is a ton of fun.
Hmm.
But for just somebody who likes a fun crossover, Godzilla versus the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers,
is just a wonderful crossover. It's the crossover I didn't know I needed or wanted. I never watched the Power Rangers. I was too old by the time they came out. But that's a lot of fun. So yeah, there's just a couple little tidbits there of things that I'm enjoying outside of the superhero realm right now.
Cool.
One of the areas that we've seen a lot of growth in the store, and we've even now have a whole section devoted to it and plus more stuff, is like the manga and anime stuff. For a long time, you know, the manga was hard to get, too. There's only so many. I mean, all the suppliers have them, but you can't always get volume one of something. You can't always. So people don't want to start with, you know, certain titles. But that's where we're bringing in a lot of younger people. Definitely we're seeing growth in that. And we're carrying more figures now, too. There's more stuff available in the States that's affordable. And kids come in and like, here's a, you know, these figures. I don't even know who they are, Wayne. I don't know. I can't pronounce their names. I don't even know who they are. But they're like $25 a figure. They're from all these different popular manga and animes. And they sell well and the books sell well. And that's where we're seeing like lots of young people coming in now because of that. So that's where we're seeing some growth.
Pretty cool.
And at the same time, they'll come in and they'll buy something and they'll buy a book. Like, I don't even know what the heck it is, but I carry it. And but they'll, while they're there, they'll look at a Batman. They'll look at a Spider-Man action figure. So there's definitely a crossover. If you like comics, I think, you know, there's always room for people to try something new. And whatever gets them in and gets them interested, you know, I don't care.
That's the thing.
But,
That's the thing. Because stores for the longest time used to have... they would sell Beanie Babies and they would sell computer software and I would go to stores and there was always something else that was going along with it.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, if that's what it takes to get people in, I mean, Pokemon were big for a while.
Right. They're big again, but we only carry the packs at the register. I don't deal in singles. I don't deal, but it is a nice little impulse buy. And we have a father and son and another guy that come in every Saturday. The kid buys cards, but they bought action figures. They bought a couple comics while they're in there, but you know, the kids are there for the Pokemon. So yeah, whatever it does, but the comics will always be our focus. We're never going to replace them with anything. It's just get the supplemental other stuff, little smoke and mirrors to get people in, you know.
As long as it works, that's all I say. Okay, well, if people want to get in touch with your store, how do they do that?
We're all over social media. Of course, we're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We also revamped our website last year. I don't know if you ever saw that. We revamped that whole thing. We don't do any e-commerce over it, but you could reach us any number of ways. So it's www.comicsonthegreen.com, of course. And all our emails are on there. All the links are there, our phone number and everything. So we're all over the internet. If you just punch up Comics on the Green, you'll find us just about everywhere. And we're happy to help with any kind of questions, whether it has to do with, you know, if you want to order something from us, or we offer grading services for CGC, or just if you have questions, stuff for sale, of course. We're always buying collections, too. We spent a lot of money last year buying a lot of big collections last year. So, we're doing very well. Actually, we're on our 30th anniversary right now, Wayne. Can you believe that?
Wow.
We started in October of 1992, so that's swiftly coming up here. We're hoping to get a couple little celebrations going in the works.
Cool.
And it's been a long, crazy ride.
That's
a good one.
That's rare for a store to be around that long, to be honest with you. So that's great.
And every year has been better than the last. Honestly, we're coming off some of our best years right now, which is crazy to think, you know. But onward and upward.
Great, great. Well, I hope it's even better as things move forward every year, because you're somebody that I can turn to if I'm looking for something, or if I'm looking for a referral. Like, you're the one that sent me to Walking Dead way back when. And all those things. I always appreciate somebody I can say, what's good? What should I be buying? And you're always a good source for that. So I think that's really great. So, Dave, as always, it's terrific to talk with you. And, man, I just hope things just... like I said, just get better and better for you every year. And downtown Scranton is one of my favorite places to go because your store is there.
Oh, well, thank you. It's also a very nice little downtown. It's a nice little place to walk around. Nice, safe downtown with a lot of restaurants and some sights to see. And but I appreciate it. We miss your trips. I know it's hard for you to get up here and everything. We miss your visits. We always had fun talking to you guys.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.